So the rocks are those parts in our consciousness that feel like life is hard, that the rocks sing out, because there's this stirring of life, this stirring of spirit in all creation. It's springtime. Have you noticed? We've got a grapefruit tree in our backyard. It's just loaded with blossoms. It's more than we've ever had. And I guess just that life, that spirit of life that wants to express. Have you heard the birds singing? You know, there's just this energy that wants to move. It's the spirit. And remember that in all the ancient languages, in Hebrew and Sanskrit, all the ancient languages, the word for breath and the word for spirit are the same word. And so it's that energy of God, that energy of life that wants to express itself through every part of us. And it's calling us to let it work, to let it grow in ourselves. And it's working all the time, and all we have to do is call on it. I was reading a story written by Art Linkletter. And as he was a baby, he was born to an unwed mother, a young mother. She gave him up for adoption. He was adopted by a middle-aged couple. They were a nice couple, but just weren't very successful. The husband had had all these different jobs. Nothing was really working. They had ended up in a group home here in San Diego and were being supported by a church. And his dad, stepdad, got excited about the church and decided to become a minister. And Art Linkletter said that we had even less money then after that. But when he became 16, he decided that he graduated high school early, he was gonna go out and make his own fortune, because obviously it wasn't gonna work being around his dad. So he wanted to go out and make his own life. And so he had $10 sewn into his jacket, had $1.20 in his pocket, and went off with a friend of his. And they were gonna hop on a train and go east, go someplace else. And so they get in this boxcar, and these two other guys in there who have guns. And they said, "You kids have money?" And so they didn't find the money that sewn into his coat, but they took his other money. And they said, "You know, we should just kill you." And so one of them pulled back, you know, the hammer on the gun and was ready to shoot. And in that moment, Art Linkletter thought of his dad, who was a minister, and said, "If my dad knew about this, he'd pray for me." And so in that moment of thinking about prayer, he relaxed. And as he relaxed, he heard the click on the gun be relaxed. And the guy actually gave, "Well, here's 30 cents of your money back so you can buy breakfast." And they left him alone. And what Art Linkletter said is that, "I knew from that moment on for the rest of my life that God was with me. If I just thought about God, if I thought about prayer, then I would know and feel and experience that presence of God guiding me through the rest of my life." And Art Linkletter had two TV shows that is on there that were some of the longest lasting TV shows that there ever were. And he was a successful businessman because he knew that presence of God working in and through him. That's what we're called to do, is to call on that spirit so that we can express that spirit in our lives. For our Lenten series, we've had this idea of unify, that we're unified with that living presence of God. And in order to experience that, we have to look at what we need to release, what we need to undo, what we need to unfold, and we're going to look at that again today. Nestling into the presence, identifying ourselves as children of God, focusing on those ideas, those energies, those gifts of God that are ours, so that we can integrate them into our consciousness, so that we can express them in our lives. That's this pattern that we're working in our lives. And this idea of shout, the Spirit is going to shout through you, that's my spirit today, is to let that expression happen, to let that expression work through us. Because the Spirit wants to express. It wants to use us as its vehicle, as its instrument in every part of life. Shout has some interesting variations of meanings. You can say, "I give a shout out to someone," you know, it's an acknowledgement, a thank you to someone for something that they've done. So it has that. It's to command attention. There's also in some Pentecostal searches when you said that when you say a shout, it's feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the way they use it in that. And it means to be happy. You know, it's like I'm shouting about how good I feel. I'm proud of how good I feel. And so it has these ideas that it's not necessarily a physical where we shout with our voice, but a feeling of that energy of God working in and through us. Like our scripture says today, this is from the book of Revelation near the end of the Revelation story, after all the upheaval and after all the things that have happened, which again are not about outer circumstances, it's about the upheavals that have to take place in consciousness so that we can have that clear experience of God in our life. And so here's what this part says. "Then I heard something like," so it wasn't these things, but it was something like these things, "a shout of a great multitude, Or another way, this writer's trying to say, this, or it was like the roar of many waters, or it was like the peal of mighty thunder saying, praise the Lord, for the Lord our Almighty God has now begun to reign. Remember, every time we see the Lord in the Bible, that refers to that ancient name of God, Yahweh, which means I am. So what this is saying is there's this energy of spirit. It sounds like a great throng of people shouting. It sounds like this powerful rushing of water. It sounds like thunder, you know, that's saying, praise this living presence of God. And that's what we're called to do, is to praise it so that we can express it in our lives, to let its energy work in and through us. And again, if we're willing to do that, then nothing can hold back the power of the Holy Spirit as we let it work in and through our lives. Our daily word today for Palm Sunday had an interesting part in it. This is the second paragraph. It says, Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which means it's available to each of us. And I claim a heavenly state of mind. So Jesus said it's at hand, but then we have to claim it. I think only of God's peace, joy, love, and abundant goodness. Feelings of doubt, worry, and fear are overcome by the power of divine ideas. So those limiting experiences are overcome when we connect to something greater in our life. Any concerns about a current challenge dissipate as I celebrate God's ever-present goodness. I'll read that again. Any concerns about a current challenge dissipate as I celebrate God's ever-present goodness. So I want to take those two words, dissipate and celebrate, and go a little bit deeper with them to look at what's available to us when we lay hold of them in our lives. Let's think of dissipate this way. When we go through life, we fill our mind with different ideas. Those ideas generate feelings, and usually from those feelings we have actions. If we've been filling our mind with thoughts of limitation, thoughts of fear, thoughts of disappointment, thoughts of frustration, thoughts of unforgiveness, when the experiences of life squeeze us, what comes out? What we filled ourselves with. So if we're filled with doubts and fears, when life squeezes us, that's what will come out. If, on the other hand, we filled ourselves with divine ideas, we filled ourselves with prayer, we've been reading about these unity ideas, we've been praying, we've been getting prayer support from others, we've filled ourselves up with a sense of this connection with the living presence of God, then when life squeezes us, what comes out? What comes out is prayer. What comes out is that faith in that presence of God. And so it's up to us to recognize that we need to fill ourselves and to let go of what we don't need, to dissipate what it is that we don't want. So think of it this way. We've all heard of the second law of thermodynamics, which says that energy dissipates. Or another way to put it is, things fall apart. And that's the experience in the material world. As soon as you build something, as soon as you make something, it starts to disintegrate. It starts to get worn out. That's the way it is. We can use that principle to help release the things that we don't want, because it's a natural part of the universe. That these things, and I love it, Reverend Gretchen likes to say over and over again, that old Bible verse, it came to pass. So whatever it is, whatever experience is, it came in your life, and you can stand there and face it like, oh, I don't like this, I don't want this, it's awful. Or just say, oh, it came to pass. If you don't give it energy, it won't stick around. So help it move. Know that there's this second law of thermodynamics that will help you release it, help you move it on to something else. Think of a lightning rod. A lightning rod is put on the side of a building so when lightning comes, the lightning doesn't destroy the building. It goes down that lightning rod into the ground, and that energy is dissipated. So when somebody comes to you with whatever energy they have, if you don't take it personally, if you don't invite it in, if you just, oh, there it is, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to dissipate this. I'm going to work with the second law of thermodynamics. We put it this way, let go, let God, right? Let go of it so we can hold on to that presence of God in our lives and see that working for ourselves. In traditional unity, it's called a denial, or I usually call it a releasing statement. It's a statement that we say that here's something. I'm not saying that it's not here, but I'm saying it doesn't have power over me. It doesn't need to change my mind. It doesn't need to change my heart. It's an experience. If I know that I'm connected with God, I know that I'm greater than this experience. And that's what we can know for ourselves, this whole experience as well. And again, because there will always be somebody, and usually an authority, who says something that we can believe or not believe. So here's one. This is a Western Union internal memo from 1876. The telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us. So this is this next one is from Lord Kelvin, who was president of the Royal Society, a scientific organization in Britain, 1895. Heavier than air flying machines are impossible. This was the commissioner of the U.S. Office of Patents in 1899, Charles Duell. Everything that can be invented has been invented. See, these are experts. These are the authorities. This is from 1920s. This guy was being an urged to invest in radio, and he says, the wireless music box, that's what they called it, the wireless music box, has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular? And this is H.M. Warner from Warner Brothers, the movie studio, in 1927. Who wants to hear actors talk? And this is Gary Cooper in his decision not to take the leading role in Gone with the Wind. I'm just glad it'll be Clark Gable who's falling on his face and not Gary Cooper. This is Thomas Watson, who was chairman of IBM in 1943. I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. And Decca Recording Company rejecting the Beatles in 1962. We don't like their song, and guitar music is on the way out. And a Yale University student in the early 1960s turned in a paper with an idea for overnight delivery. His teacher wrote this, the concept is interesting and well-formed, but in order to earn better than a C, the idea must be feasible. The author of the paper was Fred Smith, who started FedEx. And Debbie Fields was told, a cookie store is a bad idea. Besides, market research reports that Americans like crispy cookies, not soft and chewy cookies like you make. Mrs. Fields went on to open her store anyways. And this is from Ken Olson, who was president of Digital Equipment Corporation, 1977. There is no reason why anyone would want a computer in their home. So these are the experts, the ones they're supposed to know. So who's the expert in your life? Who's the authority in your life? If you let the Spirit of God be the authority for you, then you can dissipate all those other things. So the question that we have is, what do you choose to dissipate? What are you going to let be grounded out? What are you going to be released? When hawks are attacked by crows, they don't fight back, they fly higher. That's our opportunity. Whatever life seems to be throwing at us, just fly higher than that. Operate at a different level. Operate at the level of spirit and say, yes, this is happening, but I'm not that interested in it. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for that energy of blessing. I'm looking for life. I'm looking for joy. I'm looking for that presence of love to rise up in me, to rise up as me and to express so that we can celebrate it. So we dissipate so that we can celebrate. And again, I love, there's a wonderful scripture in 2 Timothy where it says, stir up the gift of God in you. Again, because that's what we want. So that, again, when life squeezes us, what will come out is the gift of God, because that's what we focused on. That's what we've lived by. That's what we've energized ourselves with. Billy Spilcuck tells a story. He and his wife had been married about 10 years, and their relationship after 10 years was just sort of so-so. They'd gotten used to each other, and there wasn't much of a spark anymore. And one day, his wife found a little heart that he had won at a carnival midway in one of the games, years before, when they were first dating, before they were even engaged. And it represented to her just a wonderful time in their life when they were falling in love with each other. And so her husband was taking a shower, so she slipped the heart in his towel. So that when he picked up his towel to dry off, the heart fell out. And he remembered what it was. He knew what it was. And it connected him again with that time in their relationship when they were just so in love. And so he took the heart and he hid it in her sock drawer. And so later on, when she found it, she hid it in his underwear drawer. And when he found it, he put it in the refrigerator. And when she found it, she wrapped it up in some plastic wrap and put it in the peanut butter jar. And their game went on. And it brought a new sense of energy to their relationship. And it had gone, so they were delighted when they found it, but they came to the point where they were even more delighted to think about where they were going to hide it next for the other person. And so we recognize that we need to look at those things in our life and celebrate the things that are there. Yeah, maybe it's just not quite the way, but if we put that energy of blessing into it, what can it grow into? Don't be content with how it looks, but keep thinking of God coming through you, coming through it, coming through the other people to bring forth that blessing in your life. And then to celebrate all the ways that you see it happen, the healings that happen, the jobs that you see that you get or that other people get. Because again, there's so much news out there that's bad, but the news is just a small part of what's happening in the world, and it's nothing to do with what's happening in the invisible. And so we need to invest ourselves in that again and again. So here's our affirmation for today. But before we say it, I want you to think about it. What it says is, I am the living word of God. What is that living word? It's not the written word, but it's that living presence of God. It's that spirit of God that, again, wants to shout through us, wants to live through us in an expanded way. So if we're going to say this, I am the living word of God, we can't just say, well, I'm the living word of God. We have to go, I am. That's the name of God. I am the living word of God. And to say it and to have that sense of aliveness in every part of your being. So are you ready? Some of you, I guess. So, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Ready? I am the living word of God. I believe you. Let's say it again so that the whole universe resonates with it. Ready? I am the living word of God. That's who we are. That's what it's about. And again, that's what we're meant to live by. And if we do, again, one of the things we need to watch out is the Holy Spirit will take hold of us and it'll change things. It'll move things in a different way. Our bookkeeper was doing some research on workman's comp. And she found this in the workman's comp regulations. Here's what it says. Workers' compensation does not pay for injuries that result from acts of God unless the job has a high risk of injury from such acts. So what that means is, are you going to be open to an act of God in your life? Not in the negative insurance sense, but in the sense of that living presence of God living through you. If you're going to claim that you're the living word of God, are you ready for that? And to recognize that it's going to change, that it means you're going to have to give some things up. You have to let go of some things, dissipate them, so that that full presence can shine through you in a radiant and powerful way. Jesus put it this way. He said, a seed must die before it can live. It must be put into the ground and buried. And so what is it that we need to release? And what is it that we need to invest so that that living presence can work through us in a greater way? And again, it has nothing else to do, but we have to be willing. We have to engage ourselves with it and work in our whole life. Many of the Old Testament prophets use this phrase, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what I put when I start working on my lesson. That's the top of my form that I have. It says, pray, 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 the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because again, I know that my ideas aren't going to be enough. I know that my energy isn't going to be enough. But I know that God has more than enough, is more than enough, and wants to bring through something great and powerful and wonderful, not just through me, but through us. And so that's where my attention wants to be. That's where my attention wants to connect with, so that that's the aliveness that can happen in our lives. So the Old Testament prophets would say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then they would say, and thus saith the Lord. And they would say, here's what the I am is saying through me. The I am is saying this. And they did it with that boldness. So that when you go out, I watched lots of you as you came in with the palm trees, palm branches on here, and I saw you go, and they go. I want you to walk Like, you're the one that they've come for, that you're the one that the stones are going to sing out for, that you're the one that God has made to live out that energy of life. Because if you don't do it, that Spirit's going to work in you in a way that you don't want. So you might as well let it live with you with that full and joyous and powerful energy. That's how it created you. That's how it wants you to express. That's what the universe is doing. That's what springtime is saying. We might as well participate and let it work in our lives. Now, I found this word, in spirit, because sometimes we feel dispirited, right? This word, in spirit, means to infuse with spirit and life. So let's just say with me, I am infused with spirit and life. I am infused with spirit of life. Your little toenails are infused with the spirit of life. Your intestines are infused with the spirit of life. Your eyeballs, your hair, every part of you. You can have this sense of energy, this sense of vitality that will enliven you. It's the spirit of God that wants to live through you in this great and powerful way. The kids have a phrase they use when someone disses them, to diss, and it's a shortening of disrespect. And again, if you know who you are, no one can diss you. Something happens, you can dissipate that and celebrate that living presence of God in you. There was a story of a man named Rick. He was 84 years old, lived in an apartment by himself, had a little bit of a disability, made it a little bit of a challenge to get around, but he could get around. And after years living at that apartment, a family moved next door, mother and a father and three kids. And he never heard the kids, but he heard the parents yelling at the kids. And when he'd meet them in the hall, he'd, you know, say hi to them. He was neighbors with them. And they didn't really acknowledge him. The little four-year-old would sort of smile and say hi to him. And so one day he'd been out, and he was getting ready to come back in. At the same time, the family was going out. And as he was getting out of his car and coming in the door, the four-year-old held the door open for him so he could get inside the building better. And he said, thank you. But later on, he said, you know, I really appreciate that this four-year-old would be holding the door for me. So the next day he was out at Kmart, and he saw this white teddy bear, and he decided he would buy the teddy bear for the girl. And he got a little card to say, you know, thank you for your consideration. And he went to knock on the door. They didn't answer, so he had, you know, put it in the bag and hung it on the door. Well, later in the day, he had a knock on his door, and there was a little girl with her father, and he looked down the hall, and there was mom and the kids, and the little girl was there, and she had her teddy bear, and she was so happy, and she was thanking him for thanking her. And he said, it was the best thank you I'd had in my whole life, because it was, I could really feel that. And he said what he noticed in the days and weeks that followed, that when he would meet the family in the hall, that then they would greet and talk a little bit more. And he also noticed that the yelling seemed to be less of the parents towards the kids. And then as the weeks went on, it was winter time, and he had an appointment to go out to the doctor who was living in Ohio. And so he looked out the window, and there was like 4 inches of snow overnight on the ground. And he says, I've got to, you know, get my car dug out. And it was at the point where because of a disability, if he worked real hard, he had to rest a while. So I wanted to go out early to do it. By the time he got out to his car, the snow had been cleared away. And he thought, oh, it must have been, you know, the husband next door. So the next time he saw them, he says, well, I want to thank you for cleaning the snow off my car. He says, well, I didn't do it. He says, I wanted to, but my wife said she was going to do it. Then she did. So here is that by one small acknowledgement of a small act of kindness, his blessing changed that family. And see, it doesn't take a big thing. You know, when we think of shout, we think of, you know, a loud voice, but it's not about that, but it's about letting that energy of God be so clear in us that we see what's ours to do and we act on that with that sense of confidence, with that sense of joy, with that sense of rightness, that this is it. This is why Spirit created me. This is why Spirit brought me to this moment. This is why Spirit put me in the midst of this situation, to be this gift, to be this expression, to be this blessing right where I am. That's what God created us to do. And again, each one of us is called to do something different. And so if someone else does it, you say, yes, that's great. But don't try to duplicate that, because Spirit has something special that you are being called to bring forth and to live through your life so that Spirit can express as you in a powerful way. Let the Spirit shout through you. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for that amazing energy of your presence, that power that moves in us and shifts us and helps us let go of those things that we don't need, those limiting ideas and feelings, and live from the fullness of that Christ presence and power, that image and likeness of your divine light. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, as the Spirit works through us. Amen.